With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The Oneida County Planning and Development Committee voted to reject the Great Lakes Center Tribal Council's conditional use permit application Wednesday. They applied for a permit for a 36-bed adolescent recovery and wellness center in Cajun. WXPR's Hannah Davis-Reed listened to the committee's discussion and decision.
For the past several months, plans by the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, or GLITCI, for an adolescent recovery and wellness center in Cashin have been under debate. In September, the town of Cashin passed a resolution opposing the construction of the center. In January, the Planning and Zoning Committee was set to decide on the center's conditional use permit, or CUP, but they ultimately decided to extend the review period for another 180 days. On Wednesday, the committee met again and decided unanimously to reject the conditional use permit for GLITCI's Adolescent Recovery and Wellness Center. Before their vote, they opened the floor to public comments, and Patty Francoeur spoke as the chair of the town board of Cashin.
We are a rural community. We understand growth is inevitable, but we want the right to say where and what that should be and how it will impact not only our town, but our neighboring communities.
After public comments, the committee questioned Brian Bainbridge, CEO of GLITCI, and his team about their concerns regarding the CUP. Committee members had repeated concerns that GLITCI could eventually transfer their property into a sovereign trust, but GLITCI representatives explained that that was not a possibility the group could pursue since they're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. This is President Shannon Holsey of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians.
You have to remember, sovereign immunity is of the sovereign. You're talking about 12 tribal nations that are involved in this project. So there wouldn't even be, there would not even be continuity to the involvement of whose sovereign immunity it was.
The committee members were concerned that property values would drop as a result of the center and said it doesn't fit the land use plan of the town. Ultimately, they unanimously agreed to reject the CUP, saying the project didn't meet their general standards, and that GLITCI failed to prove that the center would negatively affect Cashin residents. Bainbridge told WXPR that his team would, quote, reassess and move forward, end quote, because it's, quote, too important of a project to not, end quote. Representatives from the town of Cashin declined to talk to WXPR after the meeting. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis-Reed in the Oneida County Courthouse.
A parasite known to cause whirling disease in fish has been found in Langlade County. The Wisconsin DNR announced the parasite had been found in trout in Elton Creek. It's a Class 1 trout stream between Antigo and White Lake. David Geetbrock is the fish culture section leader for the DNR.
The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection notified the department of a positive test from Ixodilus during a routine fish health certificate testing of rainbow trout on a private fish farm. That led the department to work with DADCAP staff and implement a wild fish testing program as a precaution following this notification.
The parasite has been found in trout in Elton Creek, but the DNR has not found whirling disease in the population. Geetbrock says it can sometimes be devastating to fish populations. Other times, it doesn't seem to have as big an impact. Once it's in a population, there's no removing it. But there are steps people can take to help prevent it from spreading further.
Best thing to do is to make sure that when you're fishing, to not transfer water and mud and other things between those bodies of water. That's the best way to make sure that you're not spreading the parasite between bodies of water.
The parasite is not a threat to people or animals. It's also limited to trout and salmon, with rainbow and brook trout being most susceptible. Governor Tony Evers has signed into law a bipartisan bill requiring Wisconsin schools to teach Asian American and Hmong American histories. Evers signed the bill Thursday at an elementary school in Wausau. The city is home to about 4,700 Hmong. The Hmong American Center says that is 12% of the city's residents. That makes Wausau the highest per capita Hmong population in the state and country.
We welcome people into this country as immigrants, but it ain't easy for them, and we just have to make sure that we learn from the past.
Current Wisconsin law requires K-12 schools to teach Black, Hispanic, and Native American histories. The new law adds Hmong and Asian American histories to this required curriculum. Evers says the goal is to promote greater awareness and understanding of Hmong and Asian American histories, cultures, and traditions.
So there's a lot of history here, I know kids love history, especially as it relates to them personally, so it's cool. It's really important.
The measure had broad support in the legislature, including from the State Education Department, the State Teachers Union, and the Wisconsin Council of Churches. Emergency workers trained for something they hope will never happen at Aspirus in Wausau. While it may have looked like a chaotic scene, the crew at Aspirus was in control Thursday during a mass casualty training. The training was to be prepared in case a harrowing event takes place locally. Andrea Hebert is the performance improvement nurse.
If you have an increased amount of patients coming into your system, that takes a lot more resources above and beyond the day-to-day resources. So we need to make sure that we are ready to go at any time. So if there is any event in our community, we can handle it.
As a massive flow of people comes in, the team must stabilize patients and assess their condition. Andrew Stolze is an Aspirus emergency medicine physician.
In these events, you have different levels of acuity of people who come in. Some people are severely injured, some people are not as injured. The important thing in the ED is we identify which category they're in, get people surgery that need it quickly, get people imaging that need it quickly, and any emergency interventions.
They relied on 37 volunteers, medical staff, and some cosmetics to make this mock disaster as real as possible. Following the exercise, the staff grouped together to talk about what worked and what did not, and how to respond more effectively to a disaster they hope never happens. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. In-state tuition at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and other campuses in the system will increase 3.75% next school year under a plan approved unanimously by the Board of Regents Thursday. The university says that combined with an increase in fees, the total tuition and fee increase will be 4.4% on average. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.